When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh yeah, we're going to be spreading the news. We're going to be strangers in the night. We're going to be singing with old Mickey Blue Eyes. They nicknamed him the chairman of the board. Regarded as one of the most popular entertainers of the mid-20th century, he is one Frank Sinatra. We are the Vinyl Boys, and we've dug all the way back to 1968 when this LP came out in the summer of 1968. Compiled some jazz ditties from the great Frank Sinatra that were mostly recorded in the late 50s and throughout the early 60s. We have the Vinyl Boys in the house. What's up, Ramo G?
What's good, brother?
Were you alive when this album came out in 1968?
Barely. Oh, in my previous life, yes, I was.
1968.
I was his drummer. I was born in 71.
71, okay. Yeah. So you were three when... you were three, I guess, or negative three when this came out.
He was still a pre-sperm.
And we have, I think my dad was just getting to Vietnam.
Damn.
Tomcat, he was a fast swimming sperm. He is our DJ today. What's up,
Tomcat? He still is.
You got to be fast these days, I'll tell you what.
And we've got my man Memphis, who's going to be leaving us for a few weeks on his European vacation he was just telling us about.
You like Clark Griswold.
I was just thinking that. All the things that happen on your vacation that mess up, you know, it's always supposed to be smooth.
Oh, the Griswolds are back.
We're wishing you a smooth trip, Memphis.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Have fun.
I'll send y'all love from over across the pond.
And funny pictures, please.
People love Frank worldwide, you know, not just here. He was an American standard, but he also was a worldwide phenomenon with his smooth voice and his catchy grooves, love ballads he liked to sing. And we're going to drop the needle on the record. We are the Vinyl Boys, brought to you by Factor Meals. We're all big fans of the Factor Meals. They come packed with protein, and you can save 50% off your order by just going to factormeals.com/vinyl. That's right, we are the Vinyl Boys, and so the link works out. That's factormeals.com/vinyl. Use our code and save 50% on meals delivered directly to your home, ready in 2 minutes or less.
Factor that.
That's right. That's a fact. Let's get into it right now. Frank Sinatra's nice greatest hits. We are the Vinyl Boys, and we are spreading the news here that this is good stuff.
This an original press here?
This is an original press from 1968.
Wow. Nice.
They released a CD version in 1990 of this. And it starts off with Strangers in the Night.
You know, when I think of this song, I think of that scene in Scarface.
I was just going to say that. Scarface.
That's how I know this song.
When they tried to assassinate Tony.
Yeah, and they shot up the fat dude in the clown suit where he was in.
He was a comedian of some sort or some shit.
Now,
Octavio.
Do you guys know that his nickname was Scarface, Frank Sinatra?
That's right.
That's right. And he had a scar on his face, but a lot of people don't see it. Go online, look closely on his left cheek. He has a huge scar across the side of his cheek. I guess very traumatic welcome to the world back on December 12th, 1915. That's when old Frankie was born.
Holy moly.
He was born in the kitchen of his parents' Hoboken, New Jersey apartment. He was a 13-pound bowling ball baby.
Damn. Big kid.
And he had to be delivered with forceps. And the doctor, when he pulls him out with the forceps, he scraped the side of his face and his ear.
That's crazy.
And Frank was really conscious of that and always wanted to be filmed from his right side. And if you watch old footage, they'd cover it with makeup sometimes you can make it out. The cameras weren't high definition back in those days, so it's harder to see. But he did a great job of hiding it, and he was very conscious of it. And the doctor, I guess, when he's born, scrapes him out with the forceps, puts him on the counter, thinks he's a stillborn, and goes to the mother. It's happening in the kitchen of a home in Hoboken, not in a hospital.
Hoboken, New Jersey.
And so the nurse doesn't care about the baby because thinks the baby's already dead. The grandma, the old story is his grandma picks him up, starts patting him on the back and loving on him, and then he chokes it up, and there you are. Frankie could have been dead on the kitchen counter, but he lived to sing these great songs.
Man, well,
that's a great story.
Let's hope the doctor was a little bit more accurate with the circumcision than he was with the right forceps there.
God, they didn't do that back then.
He sounded like a terrible doctor overall. He scrapped up the kid, coming out, then like, his leg's dead.
All right.
Let's go get a coffee and a cigarette.
Context here, guys. 1915. Yeah, like, they probably went to school for a month.
Yeah.
To learn how to deliver babies. As a matter of fact,
but the grandma knew.
It wasn't really a doctor. Yeah.
She knew.
Exactly, because she probably had to do it herself at home 50 years ago.
This baby's still good. You just got to beat on it.
Yeah.
Beat him and look
at him. You got to rear him. You got to rear him.
Turn it over and bang on it.
Well, you know, a little crazy Italian woman, she probably.
Yep.
This episode of Dim Vinyl Boys is being brought to you by Prize Picks. My Sundays, you know, they didn't start out good this NFL season because I'm a Bears fan, and well, let's face it, they're in last place. But I've become a winner on Sundays thanks to my friends at Prize Picks. They hooked me up, and it's the most fun I've had winning. 25 times my money this football season. All you have to do is select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and then boom, baby, place your entry. And you can win 25 times your money. I've been riding A.J. Brown. C.J. Stroud last week was big for me. What about you, Tomcat? I know you've been cashing in on Prize Picks.
Now, Gentry, you know I've been cashing in because I'm a South Florida native. And these Dolphins are taking it all the way. They're scoring like crazy. And I'm getting 25 times my money on Prize Picks.
And we're both Apple users. So, you know, Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay. So it's quick and easy for your deposits right into your account all football season long. Just go to Prize Picks. .com/vinyl. Use our code VINYL for a first deposit and they'll match you up to $100. Just go to prizepicks.com/vinyl. Use the code VINYL for your first deposit. They'll match it up to $100.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This next song on the album, a classic.
Broke out the rolling pin.
That's Summer Wind.
Summer Wind.
I like this. This is one of my favorites. I just like it. And it was the summertime, so he probably was like,
Summer Wind. Is that how you say it?
Creeping in.
It is.
Oh, sweet.
This was in the Godfather movie.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Godfather.
All the mobsters were associated with old Frankie Blue Eyes. He was friendly with mobsters.
Yeah. Some people would even argue that he was somewhat connected. There was a story of, I don't know if you guys, you said you never seen Scarface or The Godfather. But you know the singer who was the godson of Don Corleone was actually like kind of framed after a different artist that was around back then.
Mm-hmm.
But Frank Sinatra like had a thing that he always thought it was about him. And story goes that he actually sent some people to talk to Mark Puzo, whatever his name is, Mario Puzo, the producer and stuff of the film, to like get him to cut that out of the movie. And they almost did. And then they said, fuck that. Like,
no, we're doing that.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
We're done with that.
Because it wasn't about him, but he thought it was.
Frank Frank was known for roughing people up, and
really,
when he ended up, when he and what's weird to me is, as I did my research, he's only 5 foot seven.
So you got this short man,
little guy, like a little Chihuahua.
That's Mexican.
But this, brown. I know, but this guy would bite you like a little Chihuahua. And at one point in 1965, Walter Cronkite is interviewing Frank Sinatra, and he asks him about his temper here in this old interview.
Do you think your boiling point is low? Not anymore. It used to be. I think that comes with a normal growing up and the way of living, your friends, people with whom you become acquainted. I've always admired people who are gentle and who have great patience. And apparently what I've done is, without knowing it, is I've aped these people and begun to follow that kind of line. When I say I had a low boiling point, it doesn't mean I went around kicking dogs and old ladies and people.
Yeah, come on, forget about it. Did he say he aped them or he ate them? Did you hear that?
I don't get that part.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was saying he aped them, meaning he watched them. Maybe an ape, you know, they watch a movement and they copy them.
Yeah.
Mimic. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Monkey see, monkey do.
You know, I'm just thinking.
Good one. Yep. 1940s talk.
I heard this song. I heard this song in Family Guy. Because you know, Family Guy. They all,
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I know.
With Frank Jr. Remember they?
Yeah, it totally was with Frank Jr.
So Frank had a signature drink, and he said, "This is a gentleman's drink." His preferred spirit was Jack Daniels, and his cocktail was a mix of 4 ice cubes, 2 fingers of Jack Daniels, and a splash of water.
And you better make it quick.
But it's to me, that's kind of a little disgusting. I would rather like put, I don't know, maybe some Sprite on there or something. Not water.
Did they have Sprite back in the 40s? I don't know.
Probably not. It was a very good
Sprite. You know, he was a big movie star, too. I don't know if you guys know this or not about Frank. But he really should be respected for some of the films he made, although some people gave him a hard time because they called him a draft dodger. He would not get in the Army. He made music back in the World War time, and people were upset that he wouldn't go in the Army. Well, finally he got drafted, but then he got a medical exemption because he had something wrong with his ear. I don't know exactly what was wrong with it, but then he immediately went into making like movies that were anti-Nazi propaganda movies, and they became big hits as people were home, I guess, or they weren't home. You had to go to the movie theater back then. But these movies, they claimed, really helped the American people. You know, forget about the war, these little war stories that he would do on film. And they claim that he made $8,000 when he first started doing it. And by the time he really popped off around 1950, he was making $200,000 a film.
Which that was like, $8 billion right now?
Yeah.
Probably. But I know the big movie stars now are getting like 30 and 50 million for movies. Back then, I guess 200,000 was prime.
That's cash right there, dude. You got to think, man, in the 50s, like a brand new car, I think, was $800, $1,200. Yeah. A house was $8,000. Like, $200,000, you're
people
doing
looking at
it.
You like, God damn.
Yeah. You're making it. You're living the lifestyle he did, which was, you know, Hollywood-ish, very extravagant, you know, New York mob-ish. Like, he lived a good life.
He was a made.
Even without whether or not he was involved in the mafia, like, we won't throw that in there. He was definitely a quote-unquote made guy. Like, as far as society was concerned, everybody loved Blue Eyes.
Well, there was a time where they didn't. Actually,
really,
the late 40s, early 50s, because he left his wife, and back then, you know, marriage was a covenant that was sacred,
even with the mafia, according to movies.
You had to stay with your wife, and he had 3 children, and he ends up leaving his wife for some movie star. Ava Gardner was his, and he had an affair with her.
Who wouldn't?
And so the public had they had no sympathy for old Blue Eyes. And then he supported Roosevelt. He was one of these guys, celebrities, that used his celebrity status and went political. And you could almost say that he's one of the first public figures to have the other side come after him. Because once they saw that he was promoting Roosevelt, which was the Democratic Party. The Republican radicals in the media attacked him and would attack everything that he would do. Now, the fact that he was ruckus and he would get angry at people, there's a story where he got in a car accident, got so mad at the guy that, you know, he started beating his ass and the guy like had to run from him. There's a lot of stories where he would get upset in certain situations and try to fight people. So that didn't help him, but the other side was taking these news headlines and putting them all over the news, just as he had a love affair, and then talking about his affair, how he's leaving his kids. And then he ended up, the relationship with Ava didn't work out. You know, you think you're going to leave your wife for the hot Hollywood star, and it's not as glitzy and glamour like you think.
Right, so it was
a very bad year.
Yeah. I love it.
Tis the holiday season. Everybody's on that hustle and bustle. It's Gentry from Dim Vinyl Boys. This episode being brought to you by Factor Meals. It's been helping me out so far as we've gotten into the fall season and getting right into the holiday season. Factor Meals, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You just get online. You pick the meals you want. I like the ones with a lot of protein. They deliver them right to your front door. I not only love them, my kids love them, which saves me time. And TK, I know you love them because you hate doing dishes, right?
Well, I do hate doing dishes, and sometimes I like to cook, but sometimes I really don't want to do all those dishes, and Factor is delicious and fresh, and it tastes a lot better than what I cook a lot of the times.
The veggies are solid, too. The green beans, the Brussels sprouts, they feel like they've been picked right out of the garden. You can skip the stress of meal prepping over the holidays with Factor. Choose up to 35-plus weekly flavor-packed meals. This November, get Factor and enjoy eating well without all the hassle. Head to factormeals.com/DVB50. Use our code DVB50. Get that 50% off. That's code DVB50 at factormeals.com/DVB50. Get your 50% off. Do it now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This song was actually written by Irvin Drake in 1961 for the Kingston Trio. And then when Frank recorded it, he recorded it in 1965. This version with lush instrumentation and more dramatic vocals became a hit. Won some Grammys in 1966 for Best Male Vocal Performance and Best Instrumental Arrangement Accompanying a Vocalist.
He also won an Oscar for one of those movies. He had one about being a heroin addict. It's called, was called The Golden Arm. And then The Manchurian Candidate was a movie that
he
did.
Oh, the original.
The original. Mm-hmm. He was a star in that, and I guess he got big awards. He got an Oscar for one of those movies.
The Golden Age of Hollywood.
Here is a clip from 1965 from Walter Cronkite talking about why he fell off and Frank.
I wasn't paying enough attention to my job at the time. I think I was tired. It's not an excuse, it's a fact. I think I was weary because I had worked tremendously for the years preceding that period. Worked constantly, 300 days a year or more in many instances. And I was traveling constantly and just doing all kinds of work. And I had a personal problem, which I will not go into. When I was ready and I had had enough rest.
Alcohol.
Or I took time to
teabag.
Have all of the cobwebs blown out of my head, I went back to work. I changed record companies, changed attorneys, changed accountants, changed picture companies, and changed my clothes, and just went right back to work again.
He's one of those artists that he came on the scene, America fell in love with him. They called them, what were the name of the girls that would wear the socks?
Go-go girls? No.
No. Back in, like the
strippers?
The poodle skirts. and they would they called
cocktail
them
waitresses?
The Sockers or something like that. Swingers? There was a name for them.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm gonna look it up and find out what they called them. But there was a name for that generation.
Sock hoppers.
Yeah, they would go to the sock hops and they would call them the soccer age or something like that.
So you saying they're not clear here dancers?
I don't think so. I don't think they took their clothes off. They were kids.
Not yet.
Hey, kids take their clothes off. Not in that sense.
Stay away from that on this show.
Yeah. All right, keep it moving.
I see it. They were the Bobby Sockers.
Bobby Sockers.
That was like a generation of kids, and they loved Frank Sinatra because they were, from what Frank says, is they were lonely. Their parents were gone in the war. Their dad was gone in the war. Their mother was depressed because they knew their dad was over there hooking up with some ass.
And she had to work probably at the factory.
The fact that his ass might get blown off. By him getting over.
They were.
Typical.
and this was their escape.
He might be getting shot, but I know he's cheating, that motherfucker. Yeah.
So it was the escape, and he would sing ballads, and, you know, love songs that would touch your heart. He would talk about also heartbreak, which, you know, people were in their feelings at that time. You got to believe popular. During war times, you got to be in your feelings.
That always does well, though. I mean, even look at now, what's her name? The girl dating Travis Kelce. That's her
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's her whole album, like her whole catalog is heartbreaking. You know, all that crap. People love that.
Somebody
gravitate.
Thanks
a lot,
Kanye. Drama. Asshole.
Yeah, drama.
Drama. There's no movie without drama, right? You know, there's no movie without drama.
Well, I mean,
it has to have a storyline. It has to have drama.
Yeah,
drama.
Even in a Marvel film, you got drama. I mean, shit. Black Widow killed herself so they can get the Soul Stone.
Yes, but those movies suck. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, hey, I'll fight you.
I'm just messing around.
Not Guardians.
Yeah, I like Guardians. I like them all, actually. I'm a fan. Do you think Frank Sinatra liked the Guardians of the Galaxy?
He loved them.
I bet he did.
He's a big Star-Lord fan.
I bet he was.
I was about to say, shit, if they
Peter Krill.
Frank Sinatra, if he was still around, he'd do a little Stan Lee stand-in or guest appearance. Like, is that Frank Sinatra over there reading shit? Like in Doctor Strange.
This episode of Dem Vinyl Boys is being brought to you by BetterHelp. I know some people that deal with anxiety, including myself. If you get therapy, you can get coping skills so that when these big moments happen and the anxiety comes crashing down on you, you have different tools and different ways that you can work it out so that you don't freak out. And I know sometimes before you go to sleep, you got all these things in your mind, things you got to do the next day. For me, it just helps to talk them out, a third party, get them involved. And you can do it from the comforts of your own home if you use BetterHelp. That's online therapy. It's clutch.
I also have bouts with anxiety, Gentry, and it does help to talk to a third party. There are things you can't talk to the people that are close to you in your life about, and it really does help to talk to someone else about these things.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, I suggest you give BetterHelp a try. Entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and they'll do it around your schedule. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. If you're not happy, switch out your therapist at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. All you have to do is visit betterhelp.com/vinyl today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vinyl.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Let's
forget about Frank may have been a little guy, but I feel like he had big balls. Because when you read the story about Tommy Dorsey Band and Frank Sinatra, have you ever heard of the Tommy Dorsey Band?
No,
I have, yeah.
Well, the Tommy Dorsey Band was Frank, one of his big first breaks. He wanted to be in this band so bad. that he signed a deal with Tommy. This was when he was young, in his early 20s. He signs a deal with Tommy Dorsey Band, and Tommy ends up telling him that if you quit, Tommy gets a third of your earnings for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And so Frank goes to Tommy because he wanted to be a solo artist. He wanted out. And he kept telling Tommy, I want out, but I'm not giving you a third of my earnings for the rest of my life. Well, Tommy had him by the fucking balls at that moment because they had signed an agreement.
He called his
But
one
then,
of his
you know, he called one of his friends.
Yeah.
Tommy two times.
And they had a little conversation about it.
Get the papers.
Let's have a nice talk. What do you think, Tommy? and Tommy ends up settling a deal, which to this, I guess, he died, Tommy Dorsey. But he talked about it, that it was very good for him that Frank went out on his own. It was good for both of them because he got a nice check. And then Frank Sinatra went on to be a solo artist, and he became who we're listening to today with all these greatest hits.
Great song.
Oh, that's funny, and I believe that story was mentioned in that, you know, not to go back to what I was talking about earlier, and the whole story about, you know, the different things that happened, like that were very organized, crimey, in a sense that, you know, he thought a lot of those portrayals were stories of his, and, you know, he didn't want no part of it.
No, this one he did with his wife, something stupid. Not that she's something stupid, Nancy Sinatra.
I mean, but Ava Carter's life, she was hot.
I have a clip here where
Nancy Sinatra.
They were asking Frank about being mean to the press, and there's been rumors that, you know, he punched a guy, and the rumors that he's tied with the mob. And here's what Frank said.
The only time I had any physical contact with a newspaper man was a man who's now dead.
Yeah,
who said some
listen to this
pretty nasty things about me in a column for about 2 years, and they were all gross lies. And that didn't bother me so much until he once said several things to me in person.
Kill him.
And I reached the boiling point, and it was all over. It was an unfortunate incident, but...
Unfortunate.
Frankly, if he were alive and he'd said it again, I would do it again. Because he was just that kind of a man.
You kill him again?
But otherwise, all of that is a gross lie. All of this physical jazz is nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
So he said he killed somebody, and then as he's saying, he's not a bad guy that kills people.
Wait, so did he really say he killed the dude?
Said he'd do it again.
He said the guy's not alive, is what he said.
The guy's not alive right now, but if he was, I'd do it again.
I'd do it again.
Which that sounds very mafia hitty to me.
Forget about it, Frank.
He admitted it without admitting it right there.
You got to listen when he talks.
What are
you
talking about? I don't kill people, but I killed this guy right here that was saying I killed people.
Yeah.
Well, here's what his daughter, they asked his daughter Nancy about her daddy getting angry, and this is what she said.
The fact that he raises millions of dollars for underprivileged children all over the world by giving of his time and his own money, that doesn't rate headlines. But if he gets angry and has an argument with someone, headlines. So you figure it out. I don't understand it at all.
Well, Daddy does have a short temper.
So he likes
his daughter. Sounds hot.
He just doesn't like the adults.
Nancy, she's hella cute. You know, those boots are made for walking. That's
flipping
her.
The record.
Nice. Flip it over. This record's nice and soothing.
So that's Nancy.
Yeah, it is.
That's Nancy Jr., huh?
Very chill.
Yeah, he's the oldest daughter. She's the oldest daughter, actually. I'm tripping.
Do you guys have a favorite Frank song? What about you, Raymo? Do you have a favorite song?
Definitely the first one that came on.
Strangers in the Night.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, dude. That's classic.
Oh, this is bluesy right
here. This one's really good.
Yeah. That's life.
This one helped me through some shitty times, actually. It really did.
Last Thursday?
No, I've been doing great the past, like, 10 years.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear that. You look happy.
I am happy.
That's good. Y'all look happy. And that makes me happy.
This was also in the new Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
That's a really good movie.
Jack is still my favorite Joker, but he's definitely number two.
When's he going to kill himself? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, stop it now.
Joaquin Phoenix. I'm just kidding.
Didn't he die already, though?
No,
his brother did, River.
His brother,
That's right. Wait.
What's your favorite Frank song, Memphis? Do you have one?
I haven't finished hearing the rest of his album yet, so I'll let you know toward the end.
So are you not that familiar with Frank?
I am, but I'm not gonna lie to you and be like, oh yeah, man, I got some Frank Sinatra. Well, I mean, I do have some Frank Sinatra, but that's just to play some shit If somebody, hey, Karen, a wedding, Sinatra, yeah. There you go, there you go.
Perfect wedding dinner music. You know, Frank is great.
You know, at New York State of Mind, Empire State of Mind is. I do like that one.
And what do you mean, just, New York, New York?
Yeah.
Well, that one, you know.
New York State of Mind.
Empire State of Mind is Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. Yes.
Y'all know the hell I was
we
saying.
We might need to do a matchup.
That's live.
We did that.
This clip right here, you know, at one point, Walter Cronkite has this legendary interview with Frank, and he's asking him, you know, you've done some bad things that have been in the press. Do you feel like, you know, you owe it to your fans to be a good guy? And he says he got some sound advice from a friend, and this was the advice that he got here.
Bogart, when he was alive, once told me, we were rather good friends through the years.
Is that the guy that smoked?
And he said, the
weed?
Only thing you owe the public is a good performance.
That's it.
Only thing you owe him is a good performance.
You don't owe the public nothing. Next time, don't step all over Frank either, TK, or he's going to come back and whack you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, one of his friends will.
He's making a profound statement, and TK's talking all over.
Sorry, I just heard the guy's name, Bogart. I'm like, Bogart, that's the guy that Humphrey, smoking everybody's weed all these years.
Yeah. Humphrey Bogart, yeah.
You're Bogart. And I mean, I think that means that you're taking it all, because back in the day, Humphrey Bogart, he did take all the gigs. He was the number one guy back in those days, Bogart.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Like, don't hate, and Bogart's like, don't hate me because y'all ain't as good as I am.
He was the 50s rock.
Like, I'm the dude.
But you also had John Wayne back in those days. That was a big deal.
Westerns, though. He did a lot of westerns.
Terry Grant was another one.
True.
Was James Dean around back then?
He might have been a little bit earlier.
But one of the big guys, remember Clark Gable?
Clark Gable.
No, you're right. James Dean may have been.
You also had Marilyn Monroe. James Dean came along in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
And then Audrey Hepburn was one of the big females. One of the guys I like from back in the day that really lent out a helping hand to Frank Sinatra when he was down and out. Bob Hope. Do you guys remember Bob Hope?
Hell yeah.
I remember his show and the fucking foundation.
His
shit,
golf
everything.
Classic.
Yep.
The Raising the Money with Jerry Lee Lewis. Those two guys. You know, that's something I think that comedy is missing when you think back to the Rat Pack.
Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, not Jerry Lee Lewis. He was the pianist.
Yeah.
The pianist.
He was the pianist, and Jerry.
A 15-year-old or married or something.
Something. 14, I think.
Yeah.
But Jerry Lewis. He used to have this annual telethon when I was a kid, and Bob Hope would be on there, and Sinatra would come on there too.
He would.
But if you have time, kids, go watch some of the old Rat Pack stuff with Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett. These guys would kind of, they called it, what would they call that when guys would get together and they would just chop it up on stage. It was kind of like a comedy improv, if you will.
Yeah.
Just being themselves up there on stage in between their songs, and it became a big hit in Las Vegas.
Can you imagine that? Before them, it's like, look, man, we just going to get up here and start bullshitting and do like the
do
shit
us.
We going to do. When we, like we, once we get off stage, we still going to be doing what we do and get paid a shit ton of money, smash a lot of chicks, and get any and everything.
They owned Vegas, too.
Totally.
They give Frank Sinatra credit with turning Vegas into what it is today, where it's half casinos, half shows.
Right.
Because before they started bringing the Rat Pack and Sinatra out to Vegas, it was strictly you would go out there to gamble.
Yeah.
After Frank came out there and started performing and the Rat Pack became so big, they said, you know what, we should start bringing in more acts. And then, you know, as we got into the late 50s and the 60s, every casino down the strip had someone performing. And to this day, that's become just as big as the gambling now in Las Vegas. Going
probably
to the shows.
Even bigger.
Yeah. Especially with this next generation.
Yeah.
You know, they're not as much gamblers as our parents or even our generation. The generation coming after us, they're not as big in gambling. They're more into an experience.
Yeah.
That's why these massive hotels and casinos have turned into big, humongous places with the. I'm amazed at Las Vegas every time I go there.
But no more Prince, so sorry.
You know, I was just thinking, have you guys watched any of those Ocean movies? Like Ocean 11 and all those?
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of those movies. But the last one in particular, when Al Pacino was in and he had did one of the guys like dirty, and they had said this thing with like, hey, you shook Sinatra's hand, you should know better. So I wonder if there's like a real thing out there of like, you shook Sinatra's hand, you would kind of like put on, so to speak.
He was connected.
He definitely was connected.
And with political figures, there was a political element to his story. He supported Roosevelt. He also supported Kennedy in the 60s. And they became like a power team, if you will, where Kennedy's popularity was at its height. And another thing they had in common, they were the exact same age. And there was a song called High Hopes. I got high hopes.
That became
Kennedy's campaign song. And at the big celebration and inauguration celebration, he credited Frank at one point during his speech and saying, you know, thanks to Frank for having high hopes, and the crowd went nuts. So a lot of people credited Frank Sinatra with helping to get Kennedy elected because of his star power.
Look at that.
But
some
then
mob shit.
You start doing mob shit like that, then the other side wants to try to take you down. And that's why he would get a lot of bad publicity about his anger and about how he liked to rough people up and about his ties to the mob. At one point, he opened a casino with a guy who they found out was a shady guy, and they tried pinning him with this guy. He had to break all ties with him. But Frank definitely had a dark side, it sounds like.
So I wonder what happened to the guy, his partner in the casino.
I think the feds got him and he went down.
Okay. Well, like, he ain't get whacked, so feds got him. Each road that we
took, it turned into gold. It's just so relaxing.
Well, they say this is easy listening music.
Yeah.
That's why it's odd that the sock hoppers there with the dingleberry socks were so apt to want to dance to this music.
Well, they didn't really dance. They didn't dance. They just kind of sang along and
wore weird socks.
And they got rowdy. I guess one of these shows that he did, it was in New York City. And they did it like all day, where it was like six shows. And there was a line outside this theater to see him. And they had a rule where if you went to the first show or the second show or whatever, any one of the shows, if you wanted to stay, you just had to stay seated in your seat. Well, they said the first show, nobody wanted to leave. They all wanted to sit in their seat. And so everyone's outside waiting, and they obviously realize we've made a mistake because no one wants to get up out of their seat. So it's on to the second show. I guess a few people leave, a few people come in. By the time they get to the third and fourth show, these kids outside are getting pissed. It's cold in New York. And you're waiting outside, they bum rush the place. And it took 100 officers to quiet down this crowd of Bobby Soxers. Sockers, I guess.
We're going to come in here and slow dance. Get out of there.
Get the hell out of my way. I'm ready to turn up. Listen. I mean, this stuff makes me want to rage. I don't know about you.
That's funny.
Let's tear the club up.
But as soon as they got in there, they just like got into the slow dance position.
But only after I smoked the devil's lettuce.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think, I mean, at this point, the one thing I credit Sinatra with, too, is he's been recorded on every device you can think of. You start your music in the 40s, when you're talking about what, the monogram or the phonogram or whatever, the thing that Edison invented, the old school records. Then he evolves into the 45 and the 8-track, and then go on to the LPs.
Right.
So he has seen the music evolve, and you would think that you're hearing this stuff as a kid. It's the first music you're probably hearing ever.
True.
And so you are going to want to rage and get in there.
Outside of church music.
Yeah.
There's not
a whole lot of music being played in the 40s that you have access to. I mean, we got to find the oldest known album to man. I wonder what that is. What was the first album on press?
Let's find that out.
But the LP didn't come out, I don't think, until the the late 40s and early 50s. The LP came out, and that, I guess, was really good for Frank Sinatra because he liked to tell a story in his albums where, like people do now. But back then, there was no such thing. Everyone got 45s. You just brought home your single. You listened to one side. You flipped it over. You listened to the other. That's it. On to the next record.
I think the
he saw the evolution of the LP, which really helped his career.
I think the very first recording was Thomas Edison's wife, actually. And she sang a little song on one of his one of his inventions, and they played it back. I'm trying to remember the exact song, but that's the first recording on a record.
According to, well, I don't know how credible this is, meow.com. It's like a vinyl record day, like the oldest records, like, and they talk about Beatles, Elvis Presley, Sex Pistols, and according to them, it's Berliner's album, which includes him reciting Friedrich Schiller's ballad Der Handusch, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, well, Handusch.
And it was Mary Had a Little Lamb that Thomas Edison's wife said.
Oh, did she?
That was my Mary had a Little Lamb. What the hell did she sing?
It says it's sometimes cited as the first vinyl ever recorded.
What I'm seeing is what TK is saying, that in 1877, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph and the first machine that could record sound and play it back. Interesting. And the first audio recording Edison recited was Mary Had a Little Lamb. 1877 was the first ever recording.
That's crazy.
So Frank would come along in the, I think 1942 was the first year that he recorded music. So now you're talking 70 years after the first recording that Sinatra came out.
He took it up a notch from that Mary Had a Little Lamb shit.
Yeah, he sure did.
Like, get that shit out of here.
But then you have to credit guys like we did last week, Chuck Berry, guys like the Stones. They kind of started to knock Sinatra out because the kids were like, hey, this big band stuff, it just isn't cool anymore. We like to hear these sounds out of this guitar now. We want to listen to bands. We don't want to listen. I never see Frank with an instrument. Only a microphone. He would have big symphonies behind him. He would have massive bands.
That's what you call a crooner. Gentry.
He'd have a cigarette and his gentleman's drink in his hand.
Yeah. He was a crooner. Yeah. His crew was crooners.
That Dean Martin, he'd have a drink in one hand and then the mic in the other, smoking a cigarette probably.
Mm-hmm.
I like Sinatra's moves though with that microphone stand. He was really smooth with like grabbing it and like almost dancing with the mic stand. You know what I'm saying? Like swaying back and forth while he was singing.
Yeah,
he was smooth. It will never be. I'm going to look up what Frank Sinatra's first recorded song was. I like that. Frank's first recorded song was on the 78 RPM. So, you know, I know he's recorded on a bunch of different mediums. You know, the 45, the 78, the 12-inch, the 8-track. But his first song was From the Bottom of My Heart.
The Bottom of My Heart.
What year was From the Bottom of My Heart recorded?
I do not know. If you
should wait, I'm going to find out. It was 1939 when he recorded his first song.
Damn. It's a long-ass time ago.
Coming up on 100 years.
I got a little info that I know you like. It says Frank Sinatra, he died in 1998, but he was worth $220 million, apparently.
It's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of Louis.
Let's see. There's one thing about who did he leave his money to?
Nancy.
His wife and children.
That's the right thing to do.
Says, and demanding that anyone who contests his will be disinherited.
His parents, Sinatra's father, Martin, he was a bar owner or a tavern owner, they called him back then, and he was a part-time prize fighter. That's probably where Sinatra got his scrappy attitude when your dad's a prize fighter.
Yeah, dad come on loose from a fight and kick his ass.
And his mom's name was Natalie, and her nickname was Dolly.
Dolly.
And she had an influence in local politics and was a big influence in her son's life and career. His parents wanted him to be a civil engineer. Go to school, kid. Get an education. This singing stuff ain't for you. It's for the birds. But
well, little did they know, it brought birds to him.
Yeah. He ain't kidding.
He didn't listen to him. It looks like he lived a pretty good life. 82 years old. He, like TK said, he died May 14th, 1998. I can't bear the
tears.
seems like he did get into the modern world a little bit. He did get to die before the internet completely screwed everything up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice.
He would have fought somebody.
He probably would have liked to make it to, like, the year 2000 just to kind of see, like, the turn of the century.
I mean, he was 2 years away from
it. He was.
He was close.
I bet he was trying to get there.
He ain't worried about it now.
He probably up there now like, shit, I'm glad I got the hell out of there. They have no idea what's coming for him.
He's reincarnated. He's Justin Bieber now.
Oh, yes. God, don't do that to us. Don't do it.
Hilarious.
Good thing you didn't say Bad Bunny or some shit. I'm like, oh, God, no.
He definitely wouldn't want to be Puerto Rican.
That would be funny, though. We've reincarnated he was Frank already Sinatra as Bad Bunny.
He was already Italian. He's not going to go through that again.
All right, that's it. That's the record.
Wow. That's it. That's a quick one.
Yeah.
33 minutes, that record. Just over 33 minutes.
Oh, man, said. It was, you know, for my first time hearing, like, consecutive Frank Sinatra songs, I'm very impressed.
It went by quick.
It did. Not that it went by fast. It was just like, okay, I would play this at home.
Very relaxing.
I wouldn't, but it was definitely nice. I wouldn't mind listening to it while I was having dinner at somebody's restaurant or a wedding.
Yes.
Or maybe having a dinner party at somebody's house. This is
so you say.
I like when he does Christmas music. His Christmas music is always.
So you're saying you're too good to listen to Frank Sinatra at home?
Never, never, never. I just don't listen to music when I'm at home.
You're listening to Miguel Sinatra.
Yeah. Miguel
Sinatra.
Sinatra.
What type of music? What's his genre, though, TK?
Salsa. Sure. Yeah.
Is that is that mild or hot salsa?
Yeah. If I listen to Spanish music, it's probably going to be salsa.
Bachata.
Bachata.
Nah, I'm not a big bachata fan.
Bachata's okay.
How's that taste? I've never tried bachata.
It's good on spaghetti.
It is. Very nice.
Let everybody make your
bolognese
bachata.
Yeah, bolognese. That's two types of food.
Hey, you can get bolognese by just going to factormeals.com. Nice. Get a good Italian meal, you know, that Frank Sinatra would approve, and you can get it delivered right to your doorstep. And if you don't do it, you might get whacked. So I suggest you go to factormeals.com/vinyl there, wise guy.
Bada bing.
Bada boom.
And you'll save 50%. Tell them your boys at the Vinyl Boys told you to do it.
And okay? Don't forget to leave a donation.
Sucker.
We'll see you next week, y'alls. That's going to do it for us, the Vinyl Boys. We're out of here.
I was wondering how long he was going to be able to hold that Italian accent.
I lost it.
Yeah. So long, man.
We're out of here.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Keep the needle in the groove and keep it groovy. We are the Vinyl Boys. We'll be back next week with another fresh piece of classic vinyl. See ya.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.